Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hi everyone, happy Friday and welcome to a bonus episode of Soap from the Box, the behind-the-scenes TV podcast where I speak to some of the biggest stars of television and music on Pop from the Box. Enjoy this weekend treat. My guest today is an integral part to one of TV's biggest surprise smash hits, Amanda and Alan's Italian Job, where Amanda Holden and Alan Carr roll up their sleeves to bring a crumbling Italian home, two of them now, back to life. And I just know there is no way they'll be able to do it without my next guest. He is locally based but British and someone the pair call their rock. It's a pleasure to welcome the new Handy Andy. It's Scott Thompson. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Lee. Thank you so much for having me.
I know, what a compliment, the new Handy Andy. Do you remember him?
I do, yeah, of course I do.
We're going to talk about the show, but firstly, let's talk about you, because I read, whether this is all true, because you know what the internet's like, I read that you first arrived in Sicily in 2007 in search of a sunny holiday escape, and you actually purchased a house for quite cheap. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I was so before I was a builder in Manchester doing basement conversions. It was always raining. I was underground. I really needed a kind of a sunny escape. And I ended up vicariously. I ended up here in this tiny little town called Cinciana in Sicily, with the intention of just staying for 3 months, renovating a little house as a bit of a summer project and then moving back to England. But while I was here, I just fell in love with it, to be honest. It's brilliant. So like you said, that was 2007. So I've been here nearly 16 years.
Yeah. And you faced quite a lot of problems, I think, didn't you, though, with that first house? I think Italy, the laws and everything's changed now, but wasn't it a bit of a nightmare when you first bought that first house?
I had a nightmare. Yeah, I had a really bad experience, actually, with the guy I bought the house from initially. I'd been here just a couple of weeks, and then he was kind of playing the role of some kind of gangster, playing on the kind of the old mafia.
Right. Oh, my God. That's quite scary. Kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was. And actually, he threatened me at one point, and it was how the whole town kind of rallied around me and helped me out that kind of made me fall in love with the place. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. it wasn't simple at first. And that's kind of why I started doing what I did, because I thought, well, do you know what? You know, I'm not having this guy trying to rip people off coming here, making the most of the fact that he's the only guy who speaks English. So that's when I started doing what I do, you know, looking after properties for people and making sure no one else kind of went through what I went through. That was the original kind of idea behind my business, really.
Oh, brilliant. And obviously you're still there. You bought different houses. You're not in that house anymore, are you? But you bought several years and renovated them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I bought a couple and sold them on. And now I'm in a house that is just... It's me. It suits my ADHD down to the ground. Every room's got a different kind of theme and purpose sort of thing.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yeah.
And then how did the show come up? For those of you who've not seen Amanda and Alan's Italian Job, which you have to see, it's about, the fact that, which is incredible, that you can buy properties in Italy, placed in Italy for less than a euro. I think the first... In the first series, the pair of adjoining apartments they bought in Sicily was 88p they came to each. But I mean, the whole thing about this is to keep dying villages alive, I suppose, because young Italians are, as we know, migrating to cities to work, leaving kind of aging populations and empty homes. That's the kind of thesis behind the show, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's not quite as simple as, you know, you don't pay a euro and then you get a house because you've obviously got legal fees and all that kind of stuff. So it does cost, you know, a fair few grand to kind of end up with the place. But the actual purchase price, sometimes it's done on it's different in different places, but sometimes it's done on an Asta, which is a auction. That's the word in English. And sometimes it's just kind of a straight introduction price sort of thing. But yeah, like you say, the little towns that are trying to repopulate, trying to bring tourism and a new life to the towns. It's a really good scheme, I think.
And how did you get involved with the show then? How did you come about being kind of their right-hand person? Were you approached by the BBC or did someone recommend you or how did it happen?
So it was kind of a funny story, really. So I got a random phone call one day from a producer who said, I were looking to do a show in Sicily and we're looking at 1 year houses. Could you come round and just kind of help us find a house that you think could be renovated in kind of 3 months? So I went and kind of looked at some different houses with them. And it was just, at first it was just to kind of help them find a house and it just kind of grew from that, really. So it kind of naturally grew into me being there. I don't know how, it was funny.
Well, obviously, they probably, I know you had TV works. They obviously probably met you and thought, oh my God, you'll be perfect on telly as well. Was it? Because obviously you've got a very successful business. So when they actually asked you, so it was 3 months, was it, to renovate that in the first season? Yeah. I mean, and obviously you were there most of the time. So was it did you have to think about doing it on TV or were you kind of right, no, I'm going to do it straight away?
I don't think I was convinced straight away because I had quite a bit of stuff on. I think I took a bit of convincing actually to do the first one. Also, I don't really watch TV, so I didn't know anything about it. I hadn't heard anything about it. I wasn't sure, but I'm glad I did because it was such good fun.
And what was it like first meet? Because I'm sure, as we all know, Amanda and Alan weren't there the whole time, even though they seemed to roll their hands up a lot more actually in season two. But was it mad for you suddenly having this production team with two huge names? Did you know who Amanda and Alan were?
Yeah. I mean, I love comedy. I think since like Pop Idol, I've been a massive kind of X Factor, Pop Idol, all those kind of things fan. That's obviously where I know Amanda from. But meeting them for the first time was really funny, actually. So that first scene in the first season where I come in, that's actually where I met them.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, the production team were kind of very convinced that I shouldn't meet them before, like live on camera for the first time. But the first we had to do two takes because the first Amanda and Alan been there cleaning, doing what they've been doing, as you saw it on the program.
Yeah. It was filthy, wasn't it? That first house, I remember. It was, yeah.
I was glad I wasn't there for that day, to be honest.
Yeah, you missed one of them.
And then I came in and I was so nervous that I kind of leant in to kiss Amanda on the cheek and I kind of headbutted her.
Great introduction. Well, you must be quite nerve-wracking never doing TV and suddenly, you know, two legends really of TV plus this whole production team. Because as we know, it's not just you three on location. There's like a whole team of probably about 15 people behind. Quite a nerve-wracking thing to do, as well as then the responsibility, I suppose, is on, because you were the main project manager as well, because then you've got the responsibility of turning this place around as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's been the biggest learning curve for me is kind of marrying the two. Because obviously you wouldn't normally build a house as you would film building a house, or as you would do it if you had two DIYers in there doing it. You know, you'd normally do it in a much kind of different flow. So kind of managing the whole time frames, you know, the work schedule and stuff like that has been a real learning curve. But But yeah, it's good. It's been really interesting. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
For the show, obviously, and again, for those who haven't seen it, or those who have, what happens is every show, there's kind of a reveal of a room, which obviously, as I, being a TV producer, I can understand why they do that. This week, we're doing the living room. But that must have been, because again, that's quite an odd way of doing it. It's probably you wouldn't normally finish whole rooms first, would you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can say there's a certain amount of camera magic goes into that, because obviously you can't do everything in one, you can't finish one room completely and then start the room next.
No, you're obviously doing them all at the same time, really.
So it kind of works around like that, but obviously they're very keen to work on one room or one sort of skill at a time. So,
And then what are Amanda and Alan, I mean, I think, again, it's pretty genuine what comes across. They do roll their sleeves up, and they do have, again, Amanda seems to be well into the kind of DIY aspect of building and wanting to learn.
Amanda is she's always on a mission. You know, you could tell, instead of explaining how to do things, she's got a tool in her hand. She's got like kind of itchy feet. She's raring to go. She's like, just let me get it. Let me get it. I want to do it.
Yeah, she wants to smash up things and do stuff, doesn't she?
Yeah. Quite a few times, actually, when there's things being smashed, you know, we'll kind of finish whatever. The cameraman will stop and Amanda's still going at it.
Was there anything in that first series that you were like, this really isn't going to work, or that you struggled with, but you kind of went and you were surprised that it worked, one of their ideas? Because obviously they're not house interior designers, really, although they're both actually really good from what they've done. But was there anything you were like really worried about in that first transformation?
I mean, Amanda has definitely got
an eye.
Yeah, she's got adventurous taste. And I'm always a bit like, when she's describing it to me, I'm thinking, you what? but actually, she always makes it work. It always she might not be an interior designer, but I know she spends so much time with all the magazines, watching all the programs. She absolutely loves it as a subject. So she really knows her stuff. She knows what things will come together.
I remember when we filmed Neighbours, actually, and we were walking around some posh hotel we were filming in. She was literally like taking pictures of stuff, going, right, that's what I want in my bedroom and stuff. She's always got her mind on the job there. And that was in Sicily, wasn't it? I mean, a place, so you obviously know Sicily really well. So that first series was probably, I suppose, quite easy for you, because you kind of knew where you were and everyone around.
Yeah, I mean, the first season was really easy because it was like an hour up the road from my house. I could use, you know, people that I've worked with before. So it was a lot easier in that way. Whereas Tuscany was a whole different thing. You know, we literally moved there for 3 and a bit months, I think. And it was, you know, full on. It was work. Sicily was great, but we were fairly easy. We knew we had enough people. We knew we had plenty of time. Whereas logistically, Tuscany was definitely a lot harder.
And quickly, before we moved to Tuscany, actually, that finished property, I think I'm right, the first converted, it was two apartments, wasn't it? Converted into one. And it sold with Italy, Sotheby's International Realty for €145,000, I think I'm right.
Do you know what? I have to be honest, I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
I think all the property obviously was split between Children in Need and Comic Relief. But that, I mean, that's right. An amazing marker. Do you know how much roughly the renovation was of that first property in the first series?
More than that.
Oh, right. Okay.
it's the case, unfortunately, in Italy, that renovation costs are actually more than your finished value.
Okay.
Thing with building with properties at the minute, that's why they're so cheap to buy,
right?
Because renovation costs, you know, if you got a 100 square meter house, for example, you could buy a finished 100 square meter house for $100,000, one that was finished a few years ago. But if you had to build it, or if you had to renovate a house that was that, it can cost you more like 120, 130. So there's kind of this funny thing with the cost of construction here and property prices, especially the old ones. It's not like in the UK where you definitely get money back straight away when you renovate something. It doesn't quite work like that.
So basically it's for people who really want to live, you know, like they're going to renovate and live there rather. It's not a kind of business thing to keep buying them, doing them up and selling them on, because that's not going to work.
It's a lifestyle choice. I mean, if you invest in your life, it's the best investment you'll ever make. Food's amazing. Stressful through the floor. You know, it's the best investment you can make in your life. But not in your bank account, maybe.
And how do you find, like, having worked here in your job and then over there? I mean, is it a different? I mean, I always know just from filming abroad, you know, like when you go for over here, say, if you have lunch in London, you can be out in 15 minutes because it's like, order, bang, eat, gone. And I remember when I filmed abroad and you're like, hour and a half gone, and you're like, oh, is the food coming? Because we really need to get on and work. Is it kind of does that transcend into the builder? Is it a very much slower paced kind of world in that sense?
I mean, it's weird, isn't it, Lee? You when you're here, when you're abroad, and you'd think it'd just be when you're on holiday, but time's longer, you know, days are longer.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. There's 30 hours in a day somehow.
Yeah. You know,
I had 2 hours sleep at lunch and I've still got a whole day left.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And it's still kind of like that when you work here. I mean, builders tend to work 8 till 5-ish, 7 till 5-ish, and only have an hour off for lunch, just because I think building, unlike a lot of jobs, obviously you can be, you know, pretty dirty at lunchtime. It's not like you can stop and chill out without having a shower.
You just want to get on and get home and shower.
So builders kind of crack on and get it done. But there's definitely, the lifestyle it feels a lot less stressful. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, very scenic place to build. And so before we talk about the second series, which obviously is only just, it's on iPlayer right now, everyone. And I think the final episode's definitely on by now. But that first one, do you have a favourite room? Can you remember a favourite room from that first property that was done?
I mean, I've got to say I love the kitchen. Kitchens are generally my favourite room because I think kitchens where, you know, it's where everyone accumulates, isn't it, at a party?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Most of the time. And the kitchen there was just a really nice, with the island in the middle, the shape of the room, it was a really nice kind of space to stand around and chat and sit at the bar stools. I think the kitchen was,
The kitchen. And the biggest problem you remember in that property, was there a huge humdinger of a nightmare?
Oh, God, the mesh. Lee, can you not remember the mesh?
Oh yeah, the mesh. Yeah. Oh my God. Explain to everyone what that was who didn't watch it or hasn't watched it yet.
So basically, in the way the walls are built here, because it's a seismic zone, you've got your kind of stone or brick structure, and then on each side they put a steel mesh that's connected through kind of with bars through the wall. So it kind of creates a cage for the wall.
Yeah.
And then the render on top of that. Well, what had happened is at some point in whenever they'd done this work in the 90s, I think, last, they'd not used galvanized steel mesh and they'd rendered it with a very alkaline render. So the mesh had basically just dissolved in the walls and it was just blowing all the plaster off the wall. So you couldn't really tell until obviously we started knocking things to pieces. And then, all the walls, just the plaster was just falling off everywhere. And it was just a time thing, you know, because they're like, we've still got 3 months to do this. I'm like, okay, but all of a sudden we've got to replaster massive parts of the house.
That's like a good month gone.
Yeah. So that was definitely the biggest problem, and it came a little bit out of left field.
And then the second series, as we said, we moved to Tuscany. I mean, Amanda said it wasn't quite as glamorous; it was more secluded, and she said it was more moist weather. is that a fair summation of Tuscany, the experience, compared to Sicily?
I mean, they're such different places, like. Sicily's very dry, arid, sunny, hot all the time. Tuscany is a little bit more kind of English weather. You know, it looks like it could rain every now and again.
Yeah,
summer's pretty nice, but it's all green and lush. And there's a lot. It's a lot more moist.
I'm guessing by the second season as well, they knew what was coming up as well, because they both seemed to, especially Alan, seemed to really get into it a lot more on the second season. Because how long were they, did they make several, I'm guessing, just putting my producer head on, that they came and went and they made several trips as you then carried on and they came back for the big parts of every job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they did large chunks of it and they were there for, obviously, I mean, they both have jobs that they have to come and go to do at the same time. So, I mean, I think that's probably the
you were probably quite relieved to have some time with them, not Phil, that you could get on with stuff as well.
Yeah, we definitely got more done when you go quicker when it's obviously just the building team,
in
the bus, rather than cameras and blah blah blah. But no, they're pretty good, and they do get stuck in a lot more than you'd think.
I mean, as you said, I think that's why it's so popular, though, because there's loads of these shows been on, and you can genuinely tell how involved they both are. What I loved, actually, what I noticed in the first season to the second season, and I don't know whether they got told off, the production team, because they drunk a lot less, or at least on camera on the second season. The first season, they just seem to always go and find and their parents a spritz. What's that? What's it called? That their favourite?
An Aperol, yeah.
An Aperol spritz somewhere every night. Whereas this one, they actually seem to be forced to go and find some, plants or something. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it was so easy as well in Sicily, because there was a bar just round the corner.
Perfect.
The guy from the bar, Fabrizio, became quite good friends with us all. So it was so easy there to do that. Whereas Tuscany was a lot more driving around,
get a drink.
But we were staying in a town called Barga, which is beautiful. But we were building in this kind of really small town called Fonovelasco in the mountains. So everything was a bit more of a kind of a drive and a schlep around in Tuscany, really.
I'm guessing that's the difference, a big difference between the UK when people are building as well. It's the access and how you get things. I mean, some of the stuff you were doing, you go, God, that must take ages just to get it up there. Do you know what I mean?
That kitchen, the kitchen island piece of marble.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh my word. So the one in Sicily was bad enough because we had to bring that down some steps and there was about 8 people. This one in Tuscany, we had to, the truck stopped in the car park. So we had to carry the piece of marble over a humpback bridge, all cobbled floor.
Oh my.
About 400 meters, no, about 300 meters up the road over cobbles. And honestly, this piece of Carrara marble must have weighed about, I don't know, maybe 400 kilos, something like that.
Oh, my God. And how many of you were there in the second one? I can't remember how many of you were there carrying it.
Well, the problem was
there's only so many that can carry it. That's the problem, isn't it? Without it being harder.
Well, there's like 5 or 6 of us getting it to the house, which was fine. But then we had to get it up this tiny wooden staircase. So we could literally get like 3 of us around it. And that was it. Just one step at a time,
Yeah, oh my God.
There was one point halfway up, I thought, it's just going to stay here. This is it. It's a feature on the staircase.
This is picturesque. Is it worth quite a lot? It's worth quite a lot as well, I'm guessing.
The house or the marble?
The marble.
Oh, the marble's a fortune, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's almost like we don't mind if the house collapses, but don't let the marble break.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, having to live in the marble. Oh, my God. And again,
what about your feet? Just don't,
Yeah, oh, my God, imagine dropping that on your feet. Oh, I'm one of these people definitely that likes watching. I would be like, I went around my friends the other night and I didn't realise that the Friday night dinner invite included moving bedrooms for her daughter, and I was like, no, that's not I'm not very good at judging spaces, because a lot of it is just judging everywhere, isn't it? And judging doorways and stuff is so hard. That's the hardest thing, and especially old houses that are like little mazes.
Yeah, totally.
And what was your favorite room in this second series that got done? I mean, I have to, if you've not watched everyone, you must watch it. I was quite perplexed by Amanda's floor in her bathroom, that gold kind of, that had lots of dead flies in it by the end.
the resin floor, yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's actually a really good covering for a bathroom floor practically, because it's just one single sheet of plastic essentially.
Right. It looked quite stunning. It was Alan, wasn't it, who left the window open, so lots of flies got in, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that he took the blame for that, but really, I think the experienced project manager should have pointed that out. I can't blame Alan, but you know what? I'm sitting next to him, really.
Next to him with the window open. By the way, I love that there's a clock chiming behind you. It sets the scene of where you are compared to where I am.
It's going to go on as well. 11 big bings and...
Oh, that's all right. That's quite nice. What was your favourite room in there? I mean, because I do remember as well, it was a shame because Amanda's idea, wasn't it, was to build up into the turret, but then that idea fell apart, which was a shame because that sounded like that would have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been amazing. But, you know, there's a balance to strike when you're renovating these old houses, and it's just what you're going to get for how much it's worth doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doing that would have cost a good few thousand more. We'd have had to do some structural kind of work on the old medieval tower. So it was a lot of work and a lot of effort for what would have essentially been kind of a really nice skylight.
But, yes, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure how much it actually adds to the house for the, you know, you've always got to do that when you're renovating and think, well, is it really worth it? And
do you have, as a project manager away from TV, how do you kind of persuade people? I mean, do you just go with what people want, or do you play that person of going, listen, it's really not worth this money? Do you know what I mean? Do you find it, or do you just have to put it over and kind of do what people want?
No, I think, you know, my job is to always to question. At the end of the final decision is up to the client, and the client can have whatever they want. But it is my job to say, look, you know, this, just have a think again about this. This is how much it's going to cost you, you know. Are you going to get what you want from that, or do you want to put that money somewhere else? You know, some clients, money's no object, and they'll do whatever they want to do. And some clients have a strict budget, and quite often I've got to manage their expectations within that budget. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. No, totally. I must find this actually. This was, I saw a post on Facebook the other day. This was someone walking around Harrods, and there was a table, a light chandelier, it's not that nice, for £68,000.
My word.
I know. Do you see stuff, and you must see some humdingers of things in your line of work where you're like, this is madness.
I built a house for an actor a few years ago, a very famous and wealthy actor, and he had a front door hand sculpted. It took a year to make his front door. Cost about 20 grand, something like that.
Wow. Oh my god.
It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful, but it was a little old guy that we found in the mountains, who was kind of who did this kind of relief sculpture work. And we essentially bought him two massive slabs of exotic wood, and he spent a year carving away at his door.
Wow. Oh my god, I can't imagine spending a year carving away a door.
To be honest, that 20 grand is super cheap, because I mean, if you think, if that was, this was a little old man in a little mountain village, but if you think, if you took that to a, you know, a sculptor in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, you'd be looking at far more than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it, how much? I mean, I suppose we can never say if we all had that much money, would we might possibly have a hand-carved door. Do you know what I mean? And then what's life been like for you after the show? I mean, have you... I jokingly said to Andy, but obviously you could probably get your own show from this now, Scott, but you're quite content doing what you're doing, living in Sicily, living a dream life.
I mean, I do have a lovely life, and I'm very fortunate, I'm very blessed, really. So I'm kind of like it here, and nothing's really changed here, apart from the number of inquiries that I get kind of online.
Good. But, yeah. I suppose there's only so much you can do, though, so...
Yeah, but like I say, you know, it's a tiny little mountain village in Sicily, so no one knows. That said, I did get a bit of a flavour for this, and I like producing. I like the whole kind of producing something a bit different. You know, I've been a builder for 25 years, so it's a nice new slant on my work. So, you know, if I could become the next, you know, if I could do the next Grand Designs in Sicily, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, we need to put our thinking caps on. I'd love to come back to Sicily for 6 months. And how's the fan? Have you had some mad fan attention? I'm guessing you have, especially because you and Alan stripped off to your pants and dived into the water in the last season. I'm guessing your inbox might be full of some new fans.
It's been nice. I've had a lot of nice positive comments and stuff. Yeah, nothing... Nothing that outrageous, to be honest, but...
Oh, that's just, come on, people. Don't let's go outrageous. And it's a shame...
weirdos.
Yeah, it's a shame that people in the villages don't know, because I thought you might be this little local who's getting, like, you know, the best table in the little restaurants and stuff, but no one watches it.
No, they don't even know. And funny enough, I'll tell you a funny story. So I posted on... Instagram the other day some pictures of Alan and I at a restaurant in Florence. So this is a bit an exclusive, a scene that got didn't make it to the actual show. So there's Alan and I having a meal in this restaurant in Palermo, and I've got a little Chihuahua dog, and in Florence, and so this little Chihuahua dog sat on my knee for the whole thing. You couldn't see it at all. She's silent. She sits there, doesn't move. So we filmed this whole scene, and obviously all the waiters and the waitresses and stuff are all kind of stood around watching. The next day, I didn't actually get to eat any of the steak though. So the next day I go back in there and have a steak on my own and my partner. And I'm sat there eating, the waiters, no one recognised me. No one said a thing. I thought, oh, fine. You know, yesterday I was there with all the cameras. No one
had
All of a sudden, my little dog pops its head above the table and the waitress goes, it's the dog from yesterday.
Oh, my God, amazing. The dog got the attention. You're upstaged by your dog. That's brilliant. My dog, I've got a French bulldog, and he's a really light color, and you don't really see any of them, and if you take him on the tube, it's like being with a celebrity. It's a nightmare. Everyone talks to you, which I hate. You're like, no, go away. Right, we're gonna end with either or quick fire rounds. Manchester or Sicily?
Sicily.
Yeah, sorry everyone in Manchester. Lovely place. Do you know what I mean?
I love Manchester, but yeah, definitely.
Tea or coffee?
Cool. Used to be tea. Now I think coffee.
Yeah, that's all the hard work you see now. It's because you're renovating houses in quicker time. Wine or beer?
Wine. Although I've stopped drinking now since October.
Have you? Oh, wow. Good boy. Is it nice wine, by the way? What's the nicest wine? Sicily or Tuscany?
Tuscany does have some really... I mean, the food and the wine in Tuscany was amazing everywhere.
How do you not...
I mean, it's amazing in Sicily as well. But
how do you not get really fat? I suppose the work you do. Because, I mean, when I went to... I remember we went to Italy and came back about double the size because you're just eating homemade pasta all the time. It's incredible. How do you restrain yourself?
I think it's the heat in the summer here. You're not that hungry when it's...
Oh, okay.
Hot.
Just pop a couple of tomatoes.
And I just eat veg. It's so good here.
Yeah. Oh, God. You make me more jealous. Right. Okay. Speedos or shorts?
Speedo shorts. Oh, yeah. My word.
God, I thought you were going to say speedos then. Sun or snow?
Sun.
Sun. Definitely. And it's the hardest one to end. If you had to... And you have one room needed decorating in your house. Who would you choose to design it, Amanda or Alan?
Amanda, definitely.
Oh, sorry, Alan. But yeah, we'd all do it.
I'd love doing it with Alan, but Amanda's definitely got that eye for design.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, listen, Scott, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast. Thank you, because I know the show is huge here. Everyone talks, it's gone down like a storm. It's kind of like a massive, not a surprise hit, because they're both big, but do you know what I mean? A show like that. It's at surprisingly level. So lovely to speak to you, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Lee. You're a star.
Thank you so much to Scott from Amanda and Alan's Italian Job. If you've not seen it, catch it on BBC iPlayer now. It's absolutely brilliant. And a little behind-the-scenes story, which is so annoying. Knowing I had Scott on and having worked with Amanda, I left her a little voice note saying, if you've got a question for Scott, then record it on a voice note and I'll play it to him. She was actually with Alan Carr, so they sent me a question to ask Scott. And I didn't know my phone settings were wrong, so it deleted it after 2 minutes and I lost it before I got a chance to play it to him. how annoying. Anyway, it was there, and Amanda and Alan send their love, Scott. Thanks for listening. I'll be back on Monday with a star of Emmerdale as Soap from the Box Season 6 continues. Have a great weekend.